Could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Anelli.
And I'm Lewis Wright.
How are you three?
I'm all right, thank you. Two of us, actually. Yeah, two of us. But again, including you as
well.
It's
nice to ask yourself as well.
Unfortunately, our amazing Brad Middleton's in Scarborough.
Scarbados.
Scarbados, as Lewis calls it. So if you're listening, Brad, I hope you're having a lovely time up there and hopefully the weather's keeping nice on the North Yorkshire coast. Scarborough's a nice little place to go anyway. It's a nice little getaway.
I love Scarborough, yeah.
It's not a million miles, although it's a 2.5 hour train journey.
I mean, I haven't been to Scarborough in years, so I don't know what's changed, but I would love to go back there one day. Mm. Hopefully it's still a lovely place like it was when I went. I mean, I'm talking about years. I mean, I'm showing my age now, but I think the last time I went was when I was a kid. So that goes to show how old I am, doesn't it?
To have a trip, like a day trip or something. Or yeah,
get the best fish and chips.
Get the best fish and chips, yeah. Starting the show with a double whammy of AC/DC, yeah, with Highway to Hell and Back in Black. Two anniversaries in days within each other. Highway to Hell coming up 47 years ago just the other day.
Wow.
And Back in Black the year after with 46 years. And Highway to Hell, one of their best albums. It was the one that took them off in the charts, really, although yeah. They did have the High Voltage album 3 years prior.
Mm.
You will know a different contrast between Highway to Hell and Back in Black, as Highway to Hell was the last album to feature the late, great Bon Scott on vocals before Brian Johnson took the job and did Back in Black, which is actually the second most selling album behind Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Really? Oh, fantastic.
And was,
really?
And was voted the favourite rock intro of all rock songs by the public. And we also played Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, as the lovely Kate Bush turns 68 today.
Does she? Oh, yeah. Happy birthday,
happy
Kate.
Happy birthday, Kate Bush. And of course, that iconic guitar outro by the late, great Ian Benson as well. I can't get enough of that, considering he played it with a broken arm too. That was played, yeah, that guitar solo was played with a broken arm and he nailed it.
Oh, I can't imagine the pain that he's gone through, I know you're there, but hats off to him, though.
Yeah. I won't be able to do it with two hands, never mind one.
Imagine the version if he had both arms fully working.
There must be one out there, I'm going to have to try and find it.
Oh, yeah.
There must be one out there somewhere.
It melts your brain if you hear it's that good.
And me and Chris had a wonderful time at the weekend at Tramwines, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And it's a shame that we couldn't all go, because I tried getting you all in, but unfortunately it was a shame, but it was a great time. And hopefully, but your time will definitely come.
Well, I've got to say, there couldn't be two better people there to cover it, so
thank you.
So I'm looking forward to the interviews later on. I'm sure they'll be great.
Yeah, we do have an interview to play just in a moment, where I managed to land a very, very good interview with a very good musician, singer and songwriter who I saw just before doing the interview. I am talking about Vanessa Carlton.
And she was one of the main headliners.
She was
as well.
On the main stage on the main stage next to Hillsborough Stadium, which is a fantastic stage as well.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, and I mean, I've got one coming up with Lucy Spraggan.
You might recognise that name from The X Factor, and a local legend, so to speak.
Yes, a very nice person, really nice. She was also one of the winners on, I don't know if you know this, SAS Who Dares Wins.
Yes, I watched her on that.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll tell you something, it is brutal, that TV show.
Considering that's just a simulation of what the soldiers have to do, that's nothing compared to the soldiers' training. That's just a little simulated version.
Yeah, that's just a taste of what you actually get. I mean, like I say, it's not the actual real training selection, they call it, I think. But it is, like I say, a taste of what's to come. That is brutal.
It's definitely enough, isn't it?
I mean, it's more than enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one with in Australia. They were doing, it was celebrities in Australia. And what they've done for the first task, I mean, was absolutely horrific. They buried them alive in the desert for an hour. Yeah. Yeah, that's
enough said.
Enough said, yeah. So, if that's the first challenge, what do you think the rest of the challenges are going
to
be like?
You have to watch it.
And that's only a taster. So,
anyways, we are... Well done to Lucy for winning the show. I think it was just, was it last year or a couple of months ago? It was around,
it was
fairly recently.
It was, I think it was last year or the year before.
I know it was fairly recently.
Yeah, so, but yeah, congratulations, Lucy. And the interview will be on later on the show.
Yes, fingers crossed. But for now, I'm going to get into my interview where I spoke to Vanessa Carlton, and it was a pleasure speaking to her. And here is the interview.
First of all, congratulations on performing here at Tramlines in Sheffield. How have you found it being in Sheffield and at the festival itself?
It's a fabulous vibe here. Oh my gosh, I love it. And the weather's gorgeous, and it's like 100 acres, and like the people are so nice. We got in a few hours before the set, so...
You've been taking it in around the festival.
This is also the best dressing room I've ever seen. For those that can't see, it is a stadium overlooking the football field.
You've got a recent album just shy of release of 3 months ago named Veils. What was the inspiration with the name? Because you also have the song featured on the album too. Where did you get the inspiration from?
I would say there's, over the past few years in particular, just sort of understanding all of the layers within us and then our surroundings, and sort of just tying in this idea of, you know, we are ever changing and we're lifting these, they're like scrims, you know, like, when you go to see a show and they have like this sort of screen that makes everything a little bit blurry. It makes everything look like a painting, and then they lift the scrim and it becomes real. And so I just, I'm fascinated by sort of like the thin veil between ideas and the thin veils that sort of like layer within us like a cake.
Okay. So it took 6 years. 6 years. That's a long time. It feels like, anyways.
Well, what was so fast.
I bet it did. What was the process like from start to finish in a quick sort of summary in the 6 years to where we are now with the release of the album?
Well, you know, you have to live your life, you just have to go live your life and have experiences and all the joy and all the pain that comes with just putting yourself out into the world, you know, and trying different things. And then for me, I think I just have this like demo process that's like, I tinker, pitter patter around, like, you know, and then again, then like an idea will reveal itself. And then, you know, that's a process for like each song. So it takes a long time, and I'm not in a rush, you know. I feel like I can have the luxury of maybe taking my time. And also I started a garden, so I really just wanted to like sit in the garden and like pull meaning. I just needed to pull more meaning if I could, you know.
I'm going to of course ask you about the song 1,000 Miles. It's definitely your most successful song with over 1 billion streams on Spotify, nearly 500. Oh, I think
it did
so.
Fine.
500 million views for the music video on YouTube, which has led to a documentary made by Vice and multiple Grammy nominations, and it's been recognised in a couple of films and TV shows. From being at ballet school to then being a waitress, did you ever think the song would be where it is now, with such a recognisable song that everybody knows, really?
Yeah, it's miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. I have no idea why. I mean, I enjoy writing that song, but like, you know, I say this in my shows. You do not control what people take into their hearts. You do not know what is going to hit someone's soul or what just makes them feel something. You don't. So that's just some sort of alchemy that happened. And if you're a songwriter, you're just the luckiest thing in the world to have happen to you. So I don't know, it's allowed me so many opportunities. I feel pretty lucky.
Just finally, as a singer, songwriter, and a very good pianist as well, all three you're great at, what's the one bit of advice you would give to any aspiring musicians out there who maybe want to follow in your footsteps or just be a musician in general?
Well, you know, I have a really strong opinion about the way that, I call them tiny tablets, the smartphones have taken over people's attention. I think there's some really cool things that you can discover through the internet, obviously, and musicians and stuff. But what I will say is, particularly with social media, if you want to craft something that's your, because each person is so unique, and individual. You do never chase popularity. Never, like, this whole, the amount of times I've heard the word follower, musicians never used to be, I mean, you want people to come to your shows so you can, like, maybe quit your waitressing job, of course, you know, but this pursuit of popularity, obsession with popularity, I think it kills the character in people, or can degrade it. So I think people that are creative, just protect your individuality and work really hard, because that's, I think it's really hard. I mean, people don't even hear me telling them to work hard, but anyway, that's my...
Thank you very much, Vanessa, for speaking to me this afternoon, and have a lovely rest of time in Sheffield.
Thank you.
That was the interview I did with the great Vanessa Carlton and her famous song, A Thousand Miles, released in 2002, before I was born. actually, like a couple months before I was born. So not 1,000 miles away.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly.
That Lewis came up with that, by the way. So credit to Lewis.
Yeah, but you delivered it better, so that's all right.
I've got to ask you, Oliver. I mean, what would you say was the best performance at Travellers? What would you say? I mean, which ones did you enjoy the most?
Unfortunately, I couldn't listen to the main headliners in the night because where I live in Sheffield, it takes an hour on the tram to get home. So I was like, I better get home before I get stranded in Hillsborough. But I saw a good couple. I think Rick Astley was probably my favourite. But Reverend the Makers was also fantastic too.
Definitely.
Vanessa Carlton was also fantastic when I saw her.
You know, it's funny enough because I haven't seen any of the main headliners, which we've got to do that sometime next year. Definitely see the headliners.
Book a hotel or something or a B&B in town or something.
I mean, I wanted to see Fatboy Slim, because. I bet he gave one hell of a party, and I mean, I bet it was a great performance as well.
I've seen the videos online from like the Tramline social media and like people's perspectives when they've put on like TikTok or Facebook or whatever, and it looked fantastic. Cortinas as well, they were brilliant as well, and also Wolf Alice as well. So three headliners were great by all accounts. So I just wish I got to see them, but no, Rick Astley was a standout for me. He even did drums to one song. It wasn't Highway to Hell like I was hoping for, because I've seen him do it, I think it was at Glastonbury, or it might have been Isle of Wight or Glastonbury.
Oh, okay.
But he did Ray's Where Is My Husband. With his lovely backing singers doing lead vocals, and he was just enjoying himself, like, bashing around and everything.
I would not have expected that.
You know what? It's such a big... It's such a big event now. I mean, I remember it about 10 years ago. I mean, it was nothing like this, was it? It was something. It was more in the. Was it Devonshire Green?
It was Devonshire Green at first.
Yeah, where it started. Yeah,
and then they moved it to Hillsborough Park later on.
Yeah, and I mean now it's Sheffield's Glastonbury. You know, I mean, this is our Glastonbury, and it's. Such a great event, and I mean, over 37,000 people
every day.
I mean, unbelievable.
Over 100,000 for the weekend.
Fantastic.
In Hillsborough Park. Mm. Hillsborough Park wasn't as green this year with the heat wave we've had, so it was like all dried up grass instead of the lovely green grass they have in Hillsborough Park. Apart from the covered areas, of course, like the tents, like the Leadmill stage and t'other stage, as they call it.
To be fair, it would have been trampled throughout the festival anyway. So
The weather stayed mainly nice. There was a couple of bits of rain on Saturday afternoon and Sunday, Friday was fantastic weather, just as well actually.
Saying that, well, I think we need a bit of rain now because the heat is getting ridiculous now.
I think I read some things like half the of England's in drought at the minute.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think Sheffield could be included, although the rivers are still flowing for now.
It was raining ever so slightly on my way in this morning. I know because at one point I had to take my glasses off.
Just wiped it out. Right, yeah. Right, I can see now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, 2027, I mean, it'll be here in no time, honestly. We're talking about it now, and it will come in 5 minutes, I'll tell you now. That's how fast it will be. Because it didn't feel like 10 minutes ago that we were talking about who was performing this year's Tramlines, was it?
It's not a couple of months' time we'll know the answers to who's performing next year. It'll be interesting to see, because they always have good lineups.
So
Kaiser Chiefs as well, actually, I just remembered. I got to see half of Kaiser Chiefs. And when I predicted Riot came on, I think it was, Ricky Wilson decided to climb on the Titantron at the side.
Oh.
Ended up kicking the microphone stand over because he's wild. He's wild, Ricky Wilson.
He also went to the Helter Skelter as well, didn't he? He actually went to the Helter Skelter as well.
He's crazy, Ricky
Wilson. He likes a good time, clearly.
He really does. So, but I mean, great showman, but great singer.
Do you guys have any predictions for next year's lineup, or any hopes as well?
Hopes. Well, I've got a few. I mean, I would love to see Def Leppard. Because Def Leppard's celebrated their 70th anniversary.
Oh,
50th.
Sorry, 50th.
I hope no one heard that.
Well, if you heard that, I do apologise. Where did I get 70th from? 50th.
I think because they were formed in the 70s.
That's probably why.
Honest mistake.
Yeah, so 50th anniversary. I do apologise, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're celebrating the 50th anniversary. And I think what a way to celebrate it with Drama Lines. Another one I would love to see is Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, they did Hillsborough Park a couple of years ago, but not for Tramlines, it was their own concert.
No, it was their own concert, and was it 50,000 people that turned up?
Something like that, yeah.
In 2 days, did they perform for 2 days?
I know they did definitely the one.
I couldn't go,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, It would have been great if we did go, but it was going to be a sellout no matter what, were we?
Yeah. When Arctic Monkeys come home, there's only one outcome.
Yeah. But saying that, it's like that for any Sheffield band row now. I mean, like, look at Pulp, look at Human League. I mean, when Human League did it at Tramlines, that were jam-packed, that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Pulp last year was jam-packed.
Pulp, I mean, they came back home to do a tour. I mean, for any Sheffield singer, really, it was. I remember. It wasn't a big audience, but it was still a sellout. It was like City Hall with Paul Carrick. I mean, he did a homecoming show, and he's also recently just got his legendary Sheffield star as well. Which I mean,
it's like our Hollywood Walk of Fame, isn't it? Mm. Like our equivalent of. But there's plenty of good names on there.
Yeah. I mean, we need to get our name on that.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, soon. You know, Sheffield Live should be on the Star of Legends. I mean, I feel like we're legends, so...
We're legends in our own eyes.
So if you listen, Sheffield City Council, you know, call me.
I think we're going to play your interview, Chris, you did with Lucy Spraggan, of course. I'm looking forward to listening to this, because I haven't heard it just yet. So,
yeah, it's I've asked her a mixture of questions, actually. Not only about Tramlines, but also about, like, what's it like to work in the music industry and AI and X Factor as well. So it's quite interesting. So have a listen and see what you think. Hope the audio's good as well. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and I'm with Lucy Spraggan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So it's another year, another Tramlines. How does it feel to come back?
It's always lovely to come back. I actually live in East Yorkshire now, so I was driving over today, and every time I come back to Sheffield, it's just full of memories, like each part of Sheffield, so I love being back.
And, who are your main influences, I mean, as a musician? Who would you like to work with in the near future?
Oh, there's two artists who I'm obsessed with at the moment. One is called Medium Build. He's an American singer-songwriter, and he's just unreal. And then another is a British musician and songwriter called Chinchilla. And if you haven't heard any of her music, like, she's just unbelievable.
So I'm going to need to listen to that, because I've never actually heard of
Chinchilla. Oh, my God, yeah, you've got
to
get on it.
So I need to catch up on that. For anybody that wants to break into music, what advice would you give to our listeners?
All of my advice is well old-fashioned, because I've been in this game for way too long to give any new people advice. I wouldn't want to be starting out in music now, because it's, you know, there's so many people uploading music every day,
sure.
And live music's less easy to get into, but honestly, all I'd say is just play as many gigs as you can.
And I mean, another controversial tool that is being used and is being talked about often now is AI. I mean, how do you feel about using AI in the creative industry?
I feel like you have to embrace all of this stuff, right? You could get really passionate about being really upset about it, and a lot of people do, but as with every development of technology since the dawn of time, it will carry on, it will continue, so it's better to be on the good side of it now and sort of use it to our advantage. The thing for me is that people are always, I believe, going to want to watch a human being sing a song in a venue, and I'm relying on that.
You know, I think, to be honest, there's nothing like the human factor for creative industry. I mean, because when you listen to a song, it's always human made, and I think that's the best part about a song. And it's like when AI takes over, it doesn't feel real.
Mm.
And I mean, it's just unbelievable how far we've come, really. Yeah.
But it's like it's happened in every single industry. Like, I went to a museum the other day, a silk museum in Macclesfield, which is a weird museum. But when they used to do everything by hand, and then the loom was invented, and then it became electric, and they tried to resist it, but they still all lost their jobs anyway. So my opinion is, like, you know, start embracing AI, don't rely on it, keep using your creative, flexing your creative muscles.
And, I mean, have you got any upcoming projects that you're currently working on that you can tell us, or is it all secret?
Yeah, well, I'm writing a musical for the Royal Shakespeare Company at the moment, which is taking up quite a bit of creative space, but I'm also making my... I think it's my 10th album, you know?
Wow.
I'm not sure. I need to go and have a look. But, yeah, I'm making a record as well.
And I want to mention about X Factor, because you've been on the X Factor. I mean, that's must have been an unbelievable experience for you.
Yes, nuts. Like, just what a strange thing to have been a part of. I mean, 15 years ago I was on it, and, like, I guess people look back on it and think that's a bit outdated and old-fashioned, the way they used to do that as well.
And, I mean, do you still keep in touch with any of the judges or any of the X Factor contestants?
Yeah, I still speak to Rylan a bit, and I know Simon pretty well, and yeah.
And, I mean, will there be any new material that you'll be performing today at your concert at Tramlines?
Tramlines, actually, is just a big festival, like, set list, so it's all older, just, like, more... It spans the ages, but there's nothing new, sadly.
And I want to say thank you so much for joining me. My final question for you, Lucy, is what would you like to say to our listeners who are at Tramlines right now?
Oh, just I hope you have the best weekend, and stay safe, stay hydrated, and have a good time.
Lucy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you
and the best of luck at your concert.
Thank you.
Told you I loved you.
Woke up, blamed it on the vodka. I genuinely thought I was dying, and I could see that smile you were hiding. Last night I told you I need you. That's the last time I drink tequila. Super lemon and a psychic soul kid. I start crying and verbally assaulting. Last night I asked you to marry me. That's when I remembered the brandy. I wake up and claim I didn't say it. Screwed if I ever wake up in Vegas. Wish I could stop, but I'm not joking. Drinking too much and socially smoking. Wish I could stop, start to behave, and then wake up in the morning and never miss a day again. Last night police had to frisk me in the cell thanks to Bell's fine whiskey. I think I said too much, like, do you like my bracelets? Oh wait, they're handcuffs. Last night I said I want your babies. Forget the ice, it's not nice to drink Baileys. I drink that much that I forget whatever embarrassing thing I say next. You said I got on one knee, and there's no way, unless I've been drinking. Oh wait, rosé. Sailor Jerry's rum, I think I drunk too much. Showing randomers way too much love. Last night I called you a loser. I think that was after flaming Zambuca. I shouted at you, do me a favour. And that's when I fell off the pavement. Wish I could stop, but I'm not joking. Drinking too much, I'm socially smoking. Wish I could stop, and then wake up in the morning and never miss a day again. Cause I'd love to learn when to shut my mouth. Wake up in the morning and be in my own house. Do one last shot and know when to stop. Know my photos on Facebook of me doing a robot. Know when to leave and when to lock my front door. Stop waking up and treason in a bed full of people. Sitting in a cupboard with my weird best friend. But I'm only young, so I'm not gonna pretend. I wish I could stop, cause I'm not joking. I love drinking too much and socially smoking. Don't wanna stop or learn to behave, amen. And I just missed another day again.
And that was the interview with Lucy Spraggan. Thank you for doing that, Chris, with her song Be a Fear, which she performed on The X Factor in 2012, written by herself, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that was at Tramlines on the Saturday, so I want to say thank you so much, Lucy. I wish you all the best in the future, and...
hopefully get her in the studio, too.
Yeah, hopefully see you soon in the future, so... And great song, by the way. Great choice of song.
She's also 7 years sober now. She wrote that song... because of a negative relationship with alcohol, just not enjoying the vibe almost. Yeah. And 7 years sober is a great milestone.
Yeah, big milestone.
Massive milestone, yeah. And, I mean, how did it feel to... I've got to ask you, Oliver, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. How do you feel about Tram Lines? I mean, last year, like we say, you were talking about being at the gates, working as a volunteer, to now actually becoming a presenter and actually get to meet one of the main acts. I mean, tell us about that.
It's a massive contrast. let me say that. I know I got to see... I didn't get to see many of the acts last year because I was mainly doing the gates. I got to catch some of Pulp because... my shift finished at about 6 o'clock when that's the last entry, or it was last year. But such a huge difference from a year, like stepping up a lot and having the designated room for all the media, actual toilets instead of portaloos and coffee.
And you know what? We also get to stay nice and dry as well.
It was really warm though.
It was very warm, but
there was a nice little outdoor bit.
Yeah, and we also got to have every own security as well. So you know,
and wristbands,
press passes.
I didn't get one this year, but maybe another time.
Maybe next time. But you know what, it's great fun, and you know what, I'm looking forward to bringing you, Lewis,
and Brad
as well. So hopefully next year, fingers crossed, I can get you all in.
Fingers crossed.
We'll sneak in if not.
Bring a guitar set and one of the acts.
I'm cheering, can't you tell?
But no, I mean, I thought it was great this year. I mean, there was a couple, again, I think the ones I'm hoping that we're going to see next year, I mean, we've only got a couple of acts already sorted out, but we're not going to find out who that is until later on.
November, December, usually, yeah.
Around, yeah.
The press area was nice, mind.
It is.
It's basically just the box at Hillsborough Stadium. So if you go on a match day where you pay to have a meal and sit in the comfy seats, which are padded, it was nice in there. I mean, Vanessa Carlton even said it's one of the best little rooms she's been in for interviews.
Well, we used to be based, before we actually moved into the courtside for this year, we used to be based at the Sheffield Wednesday Tap. So
just across the road.
Which is... actually, in the Sheffield Wednesday ground itself, we were underneath, and I'll be honest with you, it was quite dark in there. I mean, it was, and especially when it's a hot, humid day as well. I mean, and there were no lights; it was just pitch black. Mm. How dark it was. Not necessarily pitch black, but quite dark in there. But it's nice to get some sun there.
I remember whilst waiting for the interview where we got to take in the view of Hillsborough Stadium and actually have some like light looking there. Also got to see a couple of the bands sort of next door and further on. I got to see a band called The Coral, who were also on the main stage. They were in the room next to us. They weren't doing interviews, unfortunately, otherwise I would have got them.
There were a lot of artists though, that didn't do interviews, which I'm surprised about. We tried to get Rick Astley, we tried to get Gabrielle, but Reverend of the Makers weren't doing any interviews, which I thought they would have done, but I think you never know. Never know. There might be a reason why they didn't do it. I mean, we don't know what's going on, and I think if we get anybody, it's a bonus, you know what I mean?
I had a little chat with The Coral just out of, I think they were just having a couple of beers and having some cigarettes. And so they'd finished their show, just chilling out. And then, I had a friendly chat with them. They're nice people, The Coral, and they're a great little band. We've actually got a CD at home, which I didn't realise, actually. Whilst reading the list of acts, I was like, oh, we've got a Coral CD somewhere. I'm like, oh, that's been forgotten about until now. No, it was a little great thing. I'm glad I got to experience that rather than the description you've given of the the Hillsborough Tap. Not the Hillsborough Tap, that's the pub, sorry.
Don't knock it. I mean, it was a nice little place. It's great to have some luck, but it's a nice place to work in, but I think the courtside's a lot better. But like I say, I'm not knocking it.
Thank you to the media staff at Tramlines who helped organise the space for us. Me and Chris thoroughly enjoyed it, as I said, and I'd hope we do it another time.
We will do it another time. That's probably.
We'll try and do it as much times as we can.
Yeah.
Especially because you save about 180 quid on tickets as well.
True. Which is it's a lot of money.
It's worth it.
Because I mean, it's if you are a festival goer, I mean, and you like music and you like whoever's performing, then it's a no-brainer, really. And also, you got it's 3 days worth of music. You know, I mean, and you don't have to stay for the main stage. There's like other stages as well, so you can go and see if you don't fancy watching that person on the main stage, whoever it is. You can go to something called the other stage, which
I went there a couple of times.
Like Lucas Bragan was on, Gabrielle was there.
They do comedy in the early afternoon as well. I got to see the great comedian Ross Noble on the Saturday afternoon. I can't repeat any of the things he said that show for half an hour on that show. We would be taken off air straight away. It was crude but funny. I mean, he's a nice guy and he's a very funny guy too.
But it's the same with Heavily Pregnant with us, weren't it? I mean, there was one song there. I mean, we'll not mention it because, like I say, we can't air it.
We'll get taken off air straight away, like that.
Exactly. So, they were quite funny as well. Did you see, I think that there was one that I missed that I wanted to see, and that was Dom Jolly, was it?
I just missed him because I lost track of time when I got there on the Sunday because I was planning other stuff. When I got there after, it was about 2 o'clock, I thought there was an ABBA tribute band on, but it was a DJ playing like an hour and a half, three quarters of ABBA songs. I'm not complaining. Yeah. I thought it would be a tribute band. I was like, oh, I'm not complaining. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how far Tramlines has come in there. I mean, I always remember they used to be at the Devonshire Green, and, you know,
it was just a little local festival.
Yeah, it wasn't as big as what it's grown to be now. I mean, it's just massive now. It's definitely turned into Sheffield's Glastonbury. And, we had some great acts on as well. I mean, I'm not just talking about this year. I mean, we had Madness, we had Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, he came, Craig David, all sorts. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, you get people from around the country as well, like, travelling. It's not just people from Sheffield. Yeah. I saw loads of people with Newcastle there. So people travel from the northeast, Scotland, people travel down from. Even Ireland, across the sea, like people travelled all over, which shows how far it's come. Because as I said, it was just a little local festival on Devonshire Green, and they've done amazing, the founders and everything, to build it up. And it gets bigger and bigger every year.
It does.
And Hillsborough Park, the move there was a godsend, really, bringing more people in.
I mean, who would you like to see, Lewis, if they came at Tramlines? Who would you like to see?
I'm going to say pass it to Lewis because I can't decide.
Because there's been a few surprising artists that's come to Tramlines, and I was surprised, actually. I mean, I didn't think it was Noel Gallagher's scene, I'll be honest with you. And to say that he came to Tramlines with me, I was amazed. And same with Gabrielle, Rick Astley, Madness.
Lewis Capaldi as well.
Lewis Capaldi. You know, I mean, there's so many great artists that's been here in Sheffield. And, I mean, who would you like to see?
So, one of my favourite things about festivals like this is I like all the up-and-coming acts that they get in.
Sure.
You know, because you've already got a crowd that's in a great mood and more susceptible to new types of music anyway.
Yes.
So, a lot of my kind of now favourite artist, or one in particular, I discovered through Tramlines, a guy called Loyal Khan, who wasn't that big at the time. I think he just had his first album out. So I am excited by all the kind of smaller acts that are on the up and coming, who, you know, this might be the biggest stage they've ever done and stuff like that. Yeah. There's people who have been playing on Six Music a lot recently, a band called Divorce, who I think are great. Someone who is a bit more kind of EDM-y, drum and bassy, someone called Naya Archives, who I think would be great to get down, although she's quite big now. But I like the surprise, to be honest. I'd like to go in and have someone go, that was actually really, really
well,
good.
That's it. I mean, it is all about the surprise, isn't it? I mean, tickets are on sale right now, actually.
As soon as the festival finished, I was like, we're already talking about next year.
I know, I can't believe it. I know.
We're a year away. And tickets have already gone up. They'll just go like lightning, really.
It would just be like 5 minutes.
And then, as I say, later on, we find out who does next year. I think we find out in about November. We did last year anyway, so it's always around November where the acts get announced.
Yeah.
And it's not a million miles away if you think about it, because how fast this year's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But we look forward to seeing... who does next year, and once they're announced, we'll do a little special show to show you who's doing next year and the great music they produce.
Definitely. So, we're coming near to the end of the show now.
Unfortunately, we don't have our iconic outro again. The equipment's still playing up a little bit, so apologies for that. Apologies you didn't hear our intro either, but I gave you AC/DC. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, definitely.
Yeah, but... We hopefully get it sorted, but we are on the move, not forgetting. Haven't got a specific date yet, but we will keep you in the loop. In case you've missed any of our shows in the last couple of weeks, we are moving to the former Tap and Barrel pub site in Castlegate. Anyone who used to drink there will definitely know where it is. If you live around there or walk around there, it's recognisable. So we will be moving there in due course. Don't know when, of course. Once we know a date, that'll get announced on the show. But looking forward to the move. I am going to miss this little studio.
I know, it's going to feel strange. I mean, I'm looking forward to the new building, though. I mean, it's going to be a lot bigger. It's going to be a lot more roomy as well. I mean, also, I'm looking forward to the pub opening as well. That's the best part. But that's but it's not going to happen till next year. So yeah, we have to wait till next year for that. But I'm definitely looking forward to having a few pints for you guys.
What's the next local? I have to find out.
Have you got any plans for the weekend, Oliver?
Well, it's my mum's birthday on Sunday, so we will be celebrating. Hopefully the weather stays nice, but I do want a little bit of rain. I am agreeing with you on that front because I'm sick of seeing yellow grass.
And what about you, Lewis?
This weekend, nothing in particular, but it's my girlfriend's birthday next week, so we're going down to London for the day. So I'm not going to do anything this weekend, so I actually have money to do stuff then.
And I'm going to see the new Spider-Man film that's coming out.
I'm seeing that tomorrow, so we'll give you a little review next week, without spoilers, of course.
Yes, I mean...
I'll do my best not to spoil it.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, because I know... Well, we actually know, and this is not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, Scorpion's going
to
be in it.
I look forward to seeing what they do with him.
So, I mean... whether he's going to be the potential main villain of the piece, I mean...
We'll see.
Who knows? I mean, there's so many... I mean, you've got the Hand, who is like the Daredevil villain, but maybe Spider-Man this time. We've got Hulk. We've got Sadie Sink's character. We don't know who she is.
I heard someone say Jean Grey, but that's more X-Men.
You might have...
Someone else said that, not me. It's just... from what I've heard, but I don't think so.
It's
just a rumour.
Hopefully it's not a rumour. Well, hopefully it's still a rumour and we kept the surprise. If not, we do apologise.
Just somewhere I've seen. I'm not trying to spoil things.
I did look on Letterboxd today and her character is listed without a name. It's just the actor's name and no character's name, so it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Once it gets confirmed, once it's confirmed, we'll definitely give you the answer, but we don't want to give you false information.
But speaking of X-Men, though, I mean, who would you like to see as Wolverine? I mean, we know we've got Hugh Jackman. I mean, great. He's one of the great Wolverine characters. He's great at Wolverine. But I think for the MCU, who would you like to see as Wolverine? Because, there's been a few rumours, like Daniel Radcliffe, and I'm not so sure about Daniel Radcliffe.
Based on... Because we had Deadpool 3 a couple of years ago now, and Henry Cavill made a little cameo appearance.
I think he would have been fantastic.
So I think he looked the part, just on that little, it was like a little sketch, but he looked the part, and because he's done with Superman now, so I think Henry Cavill's going to be...
Done him dirty with Superman, though. Yeah. I mean, he was one at best, he was a great Superman, and they've done him wrong, I think. They've done the DCU universe completely wrong. They've rushed it, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Man of Steel was a great stepping stone, and then you got Batman versus Superman, and then it's like, you made five movies in one film. You're just basically rushing it just to get Justice League out. And you shouldn't do that, really, but that's my opinion. Anyway.
We'll give you a bit more in-depth review next week, but it has been a fantastic show once again. As I say, we haven't got our outro, but we are going to play you some Rush, because it was Geddy Lee's birthday yesterday, turning 73. This song is taken from the album Farewell to Kings, with Close to the Heart. But thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful show, and it's nice to see you again, Chris. It's been, apart from the weekend, because it's been a while since the studio.
I know, it's been too long.
Nice to do a show with you again, but we will be back next week with more content, more thrills. But this is goodbye from me.
This is goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye from Lewis.
See you next.
Heart. Closer to the heart. Blacksmith.